are listening to the Classic Sermons podcast from PreachTheBible.org, a ministry of North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California. You will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival sermons from great preachers of the past. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
I learned something new tonight, or that I just learned, not tonight, but I wanted to say tonight, that something I just learned about prayer, which was an amazing, to me, an amazing thing. I'd never heard this about prayer. But I heard just recently in a prayer meeting with little girls that there was one little girl saying her prayer, and I thought about the children as I watched them tonight. This little girl was praying her prayer to the Lord, her time for prayer, and she says, "Dear Lord, A, B, C, D, E, F," and she quoted the whole alphabet. And she was asked, "Honey, why are you just praying the alphabet?" "Well," she says, "you know, I heard that if we have problems in our prayer, that the Holy Spirit will help us to say what we ought to say." And she said, I just thought I'd just give him the alphabet and he could put the words together that I was trying and ought to say. I thought I might start praying A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, and pray the alphabet and say, "Holy Spirit, would you make the words that I ought to really be saying?" That's a good thing for prayer. I will speak to you tonight. I will not ask you to bear with me while we go to the book. I will ask you to enter in with me as we go to the book, to try to find from the book that will help us along the way. During the hurting times that we have in life, and some of them so hurting and we feel like our heart will break, and the broken times that we have in life. And I feel as I put the message together, it's a good message to preach at the preaching conference to preachers, because I'll be preaching and I've already preached it to myself. But it's a good message from the Word of God. Not that I've outlined it so, but it's just from the book, that it's a good message to apply to every child of God. Because not only preachers in their ministries, as they're trying to help the broken and the hurting in their lives, that they have been given to shepherd over, but there are those sitting in the pew, and none of us know what the other one may be hurting because of what has happened in their life. Something's broken in their lives. It could be in over in that section there is the broken or a breaking marriage, a broken fellowship within a family where the children I've just disobeyed the parents. Maybe physically speaking, we've gone through some things that have just been heartbreaking in our lives and hurt so. And spiritually things, so many things that are broken in our lives, in our business life, in our family life, and just dealing with life itself. So many of those things that are broken could be fixed. And we have found that He is the one that knows about our hurting. and how deep the hurt may be in our lives that no one else understands. And He alone has the ability to go as deep as the hurt that you and I have. And when I can't go there for you, He can go there for you. And what I can't fix for you, He can fix. I was thinking about a young lad that I heard literally, and I guess many years ago, I was preaching in a church, and there was a little lad, maybe 10 years of age, that was in an automobile accident because his little older sister, I think just barely a teenager, decided that she'd take the keys from the family car and take a ride, and she asked the little brother, says, "Go with me." And of course, she wasn't experienced, and they had a terrible wreck. And when the officers got there, they went to the little boy who hadn't strapped in, and his arm was just completely broken. And he looked up at the officer, and it was just hanging there like that. And he said, "Mister, can you fix it?" I thought, how many times we have breaking things in our lives that He can fix it, because He is the fixer, and He's fixed a lot of things in my life. And you could probably say tonight, yes, I can look back and I can think how many times He's helped fix some broken things in my life. And so that's why I would speak to you tonight. The help that is ours is promised. But what is our response to it? What is the lasting response for it? That which has been so hurting that nobody could help us, nobody could go where we're hurting, but we found that He could go there. And He brought us up when we were down. And when we had fallen, He helped us get up. And so we ought to be thankful again as we approach this Thanksgiving season. So many things to hurt from. The losing of a loved one, I suppose, is so hurtful that it probably may be the most hurtful. I was preaching in a conference last April, and Brother Pope and I were preaching on this particular night, and I was preaching from the book of Ezekiel, and how he had such a heartbreaking thing happen in his life. And I told the people, as the Lord told him, that he just needed to get up and go on anyway. After this great breaking, hurting that he had in his life. And little did I know, when I was speaking at the conference last April, trying to encourage people to get up from the most hurting thing that they've ever had in their life, and so hurting to many church members and preachers, that they get down, they can't find an answer to why this has happened in me, since I'm really living all out for God and trying to do right for God. Why is God allowing this to happen to me? Why is my husband died, and why did the child get killed, or why did the child suddenly was taken away from us? And because they couldn't get the answer as to why, they just give up on God. Instead of realizing that this is the time you need God the most, when you're hurting the most, when you're broken the most, is the time. And I had in my ministry and life, just like you, I've had many things that have been heartbreaking in my life over this year, 60 years of preaching to people, 42 years of pastoring people. You meet a lot of heartbreaking people. You try to help them, hurting people, hurting families, and You try to help them along the way, and you go as far as you can go as a preacher to help your hurting people. But some things you just can't fully go where they are hurting the worst. Until my wife stepped out that Saturday night, out of the night into the day of eternity. I had a hurt that I didn't realize was there. Because there had been times in my life that I had said, man, I can't hurt any worse than this. I can't cry any more than this. But I found that there was a place deep within that I didn't know was there that could hurt like everything else and nothing else. And so what I did during that time, and I share this with you tonight if you'll go with me there. So I began to look for the place where I could have the most help. Not only from the scripture and knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ has promised, and the book of Psalm 147, verse, He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up the wounds. And I said to Lord, I've never hurt like this before. I've never been broken like this before. And I went to the scripture to find what he said about it. And I found so much help in the scripture. And I begged the Holy Spirit, and to still do every night when I cry myself to sleep, Lord, would you help the Holy Spirit to help me to absorb from your word these precious promises that you've given to me. And when you're broken and when you're hurting the worst, it's not the time to give up on God. It's not the time to give up on your Bible. Because that's the place where you need to go. Because you need to hear from Him. I heard my friends call on the phone. I heard my friends come to me and weep with me. But oh, they couldn't go quite far enough. But I found that he could. I wanted him to say to me. I wanted him to speak to me. And I've had others who have gone out of their way. So many of my friends, Dr. Robert Taylor in Tallahassee, Florida, sent me books, and one of the books he said, preach, maybe this will help. And the book was entitled Down But Not Out. It had a fighter and picture on the front, and he was laying on the canvas. And he had been knocked down and was being counted out, but before they got to the final number to count him out, the bell sounded, and they got him up and put water on his face and got him encouraged again, and he went back and beat the other guy and won the title by doing so. And Brother Taylor said, preach. He said, I know you're down, but I know you can get up. I need that one someone that could help me get up. My children couldn't get me up. They could love me and they could care for me like you have had yours to do the same thing. And I'm not talking as if I'm the only one that has ever had heartbreak like that or hurting like that. I know there are many of you out there that have had breaking things. I picked up a little book I had remembered and I said, I got it in the library somewhere. Just a small little booklet written by Dr. Jack Hudson. He wrote a little book, Playing Hurt. And he wrote that because he had read where somebody had interviewed Jim Brown, that great, great, great running back years and years ago from the Cleveland Browns. And the interviewer said to him, "Mr. Brown, you just carry the ball more than anybody else on the team in one of these games." And said, "You get hit, boy, you get knocked down. I'm telling you, they pile on you. But when you get up, you just really get up and go right on back." And said, "I know you're hurting." He said, "Yes, I do. I go back hurt. And I play hurting. But I don't want them to know it. Because if I go back limping, that's just a signal they'll go after that right leg, that's the one that's hurting. So," I said, "I just play hurting." I said, "Lord, if Jim Brown can get up and play hurting, I want to play hurting too. I just want to keep on playing in this game. I'm not ready to give up yet." I thought of a story that I read of a coach some years ago and have kept it all of these years to help me in my ministry and life. A football coach was trying to teach his team how to be winners for a season and not just one play or not just one game, to have a winning season. So he took them all out on the field, and he only took two out of the team, and one we'll say was Bill and the other was John. And he said, "Now team, I want to show you how to have a winning season, not just a winning game or a winning play." He said, "Now, Bill, I want you to put the ball in the end zone, and John, I don't want you to let him get in there. And I want you to stop him." And Bill took the ball, and I mean, he hit old John and he put it in there. And he said, "Let's do it again and then again." And after about three or four times, he turned to his team and he said to them, he said, "Have you learned how to have a winning season?" They said, "Coach, we got the lesson. When we got the ball, we're going in." He said, "No, you missed it. You missed the lesson." He said, "For a winning season, you got to be John. You got to keep getting up for the next play and for the next game. Because we can lose the game here, but if we keep getting up, we can have a winning season." I said, "Lord, I may have won some games, but I want a winning season. The season's not over, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, you're going to get knocked down. You're going to get knocked down, and you may be hurt. You don't feel that you can get up again, but you can play hurt." Could I have an amen once in a while? So I begin to go to the scriptures, and then I begin to look at different things of those who had such trying times, and try to get encouraged from them that if they got up from that heartbreak and hurt, I ought to be able to do it because they did it. Not only did I read about it in the Bible or read about it in the newspaper, but I found out these could do it. And I did find great encouragement for me, but challenge in me, in the life of David Livingston. And I read his story again. He stood on the deck of an ocean steamer with the open Bible in his hands and a faraway look in his eyes. He was dreaming of adding an entire continent to the dominion of Christ. And whatever the cost, he would find a path to the heart of Africa so that he or his successors might draw Africa up close to the yearning heart of God. And if you read his story, he faced many hardships, many physical hurting things in life over those years, and heartbreak. But the hardest heartbreak he says that he had, and the most hurting time that he had in his life, even though a lion attacked him and left him crippled to some degree in one of his shoulders and arms and dysteria and so many things he dealt with, but he just kept getting up. He kept getting up. He kept getting up. And just kept on playing hurt. But this hurt him worse than anything else, he said. His wife, who had spent many years away from him, joined him only to die within 3 months on the Zambezi River. And Dr. Livingston writes, "It is the first heavy stroke I have suffered, and it quite takes away my strength. I wept over her who well deserved my many tears. But on the Zambezi River, they stopped long enough to get off of the ship and go and bury his Mary. But get back on the ship, even though he was encouraged to quit, he buried her, got back on the ship, and I think he was saying, I think I'll just go on anyway. I'm not too good to hurt. I'm not too good to suffer some loss." And he went on. He buried in the jungle but went back to the Zambezi River to go on. Encouraged to leave, he said, "I must finish my course and I must finish my work." March the 19th, birthday, "My Jesus, my King, my life, my all, I again dedicate my whole self to thee. Accept me and grant, O gracious Father, that ere this year is gone, I may finish my work. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. So let it be." Signed, David Livingston. And I think he was just saying, I think I'll just go on anyway. What a testimony. What a work he left, because he was in it for the whole season. I found challenge and strength and encouragement in the life of Adoniram Judson, that first American Baptist missionary in 1819. He was imprisoned 17 months in an unbelievably hostile environment and so many other things he had to deal with, but he too had his wife to die, and said he went in to dig the grave, but he said, "I dug two graves," simply saying that I was so heartbroken, so hurting over the loss that I had to sustain. He said, "I dug one grave for her, and I dug one grave for me." But in it all, he wouldn't give up God. He buried his wife, but didn't get in that other grave himself. I think he was literally saying, "No, I won't give in to it. I think I'll just go on anyway." And so he did. And he, like Livingston, buried their wives, but they didn't blame God and they didn't bury God there. Amen. They didn't give up. They kept playing the game, and not only did they have to bury their wives, but they didn't bury God, but they didn't bury their call and their commission either. Oh, when we suffer great loss, we don't give up God. We don't bury God, even if we have to bury our loved ones. We don't give up our church. We don't give up our church family. We ought to all of us say, by the grace of God, I hurt, but I'm going to keep on playing. I'm going for the whole season. I think I'll just go on anyway. Amen. And I found some encouragement from them. I hastened to look, as I looked in the Bible at Paul's testimony of all that he went through. When you read in the book of Acts, after we read here in 2 Corinthians of the Jews 5 times received 40 stripes, save one. Twice was I beaten with rods, and once I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, perils of waters and perils of robbers, perils of my own countrymen, perils of by the heathen, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, and perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, watching often in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, cold and in nakedness. But he said in the book of Acts, as we read it, I believe about chapter 20, I'm headed for Rome, and I don't know what's ahead for me, save that which the Holy Spirit has already revealed to me. That bonds and afflictions abide me. What else I don't know is going to be out there. But he said, none of the things that I do know is there. It's not going to stop me. I think he said, I think I'll just go on anyway. Amen. We've had all of our trials. I'll close with this. As I speak about Ezekiel again. And I've been helped from the scripture. I've been helped by reading that these got up. Hancock, why don't you get up and stay up? Even if you get knocked down again. And right after she was buried, I buried her. 2 months later, they told me that I had cancer. And you can get knocked down and you can get hurt over and over again. But every time if you can get up, get up. Amen. Don't give in to it. And don't give up God. And don't give up your church. Hey, whatever you have to lend or give up to, don't give up God. Just keep at it. Amen. But I read about Ezekiel. Such a challenge to rise from his heartbreak, a hurting so deep. When you read about Ezekiel, he was called to be the prophet to go to speak to the valley of dry bones. Boy, that was a challenge. He was also called to be the watchman on the wall. He was called to be God's preacher to a rebellious people. That we read about in chapter 2 when the Lord said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me. Even unto this very day, they are impotent children, stiff-necked. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall they know that there has been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them. neither be afraid of their words. Through briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious people. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. When you pastor people for 42 years, preach to them for 60 years, you run across some people like that. It's like walking through the thickets and the thorns. In fact, some of the scorpions I know by name. I could remember and never forget them. But oh, he looked, and maybe it was on that day after that that the news came, because he said, and also the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes with a stroke. That was his wife. Yet neither shalt thou mourn nor weep, neither shall thy tears run down. Forbear to cry, make no mourning for the dead. Bind the tire of thy head upon thee. That was a sort of a napkin around his head. And put on thy shoes upon thy feet, and cover not thy lips, and eat not the bread of men. His response to that, like David Living's response, and Adoniram Judson, and so many, and some like you tonight, they responded well. Not like so many quit God over such little things. He said, so I spake unto the people in the morning, and at eve my wife died. And I did in the morning, the next morning, as I was commanded. I said, how in the world did he do that? His wife died in the night. But God said, I need you tomorrow. There's a place I need you to go on and stand in, and there'll be no time for the weeping in the morning. And in those days, they do like we do. They come in, they have words of comfort, and they bring food and whatever like we do. If someone has their wife or a loved one has died. But he said, I need you in the morning. It could have been when he had a hard day and a bitter day and walked among the thorns and the briars and had those looks that people that the Lord talked about said they'll give you, and had to deal with some of the scorpions, and his heart was broken already and with a hard fight, and now his wife's died. But he gets up the next day. I can't go in to tell you what happened 2 weeks after my wife died, because I'm just trying to do what I know to want to do for the Lord. The Bible says, in the beginning, be so, but behold, I take away thy wife, but in the morning put on thy shoes. Get out of bed, put on thy shoes, and go stand in the place where I will need you. I read the promise of God for all of us in a time like this. In Psalm 73:26. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart. And my portion forever. God's portion is always there if our response would be there. Get out of bed, put thy shoes in and go stand where God wants you and me to be, because he's near to help us. In Psalm 34:18, the Lord is the strength of them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. And I found another encouraging word in Psalm 35. For his anger endureth but for a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Every morning I have to look. Every morning I have to look to get out of bed for that strength that he has said that he could give me. I'm here. I may not be quite as strong as I have been in the past, but I'm strong enough to get after your hide. I can't put my foot back up on this thing here. I don't want to try it tonight. But I can kick in the shin. I'm not giving up on God. I buried my wife, but I didn't bury God there. I didn't bury my ministry there. I felt like it. I told the Lord, I need strength to get out of bed this morning. I said that today. I said, Lord, there's a place you want me to stand. I need to get out of bed and put my shoes on. Those are shoes. And they're socks. I'm an old-fashioned fundamental Baptist preacher. I still believe in wearing shoes and not sandals in the pulpit. I wear socks. And I've told them when they bury me, put socks on my feet and shoes on my feet. I don't want to get cold. His cup was a bitter cup, but the Bible says of him, he looked forward with joy to the cross because it was a work that the Father had given to him. And I've said in my sermon using that illustration many times, how could you say for joy he looked forward? It was the joy of knowing and being able to say as he hung on Calvary, it's finished. How do you want to finish? Half-hearted? Complaining because God didn't do this or that for you? Our church members quit God, quit the church over such frivolous things, and I'll not speak to that. But I like what the Old Testament said of him. As I searched the Bible and found so many words like this, and once in the New, in Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord, God, is upon me. Because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. I'm glad he came. As I said this morning, I don't know how far he came, but I'm glad he came to me. In the New Testament, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's speaking now, not the prophet. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. I want to keep getting out of bed as long as I can. And I want to keep putting my shoes on and go stand in a place. You say, oh, you're a brave soldier. I said, no, no. I'm living off of the grace of God and the help of the Lord. I want to get out of bed, put my shoes on. Brother Pope knows that my wife was alive last April, and she was at the meeting, which gave me further reason to get out of bed and not complain as to what is happening to me because I'm not too good to be hurt or whatever. There was a moon sitting to her in the middle section. I had a small son, and he said to his mama, would she speak to my wife? And said, the preacher wants to keep putting his shoes on and preaching. I'd like to have a pair of shoes like that. Said, would you ask Preacher Hancock if I could have a pair of his shoes? And I said, I'll send them to you. Amen. I want to know, ladies and gentlemen, if it's not time to get out of bed. I don't want to lie in bed complaining, carrying on for what they're doing to me and how I've been walked on and how I've been hurt. Because I want a winning season. Not just the play, not just the game. There's so many that I've preached to through the years that have just quit God because they couldn't understand why this is happening to me. I won't deal with this because you've been gracious to listen and enter with me tonight. One of the hardest things for preachers as Christians to deal with is when you feel with all of your heart you've done everything you know to do in the will of God, and you find that you're in the place doing what God wants you to do, and something like this happens to you. They can't handle, so many can't handle what comes with being in the perfect will of God. Thank God that Adoniram Judson or David Livingston felt that that was sufficient criterion by to quit to God. They just said, I think I'll just go on anyway. Amen. So many of God's children, you've been well preached to, well led, and yet sometimes with the hardest heartaches and the broken lives that we deal with, somehow all the preaching and everything sort of becomes oblivious to us, and we just sort of sit and we'll soothe ourselves in it rather than just go into what we've heard preached and go into the Word of God. Too many silent Christians today that are just living with a reason why God did what he did. David Livingston, as far as I could tell, was living in the perfect will of God. But he had heartbreak. But he didn't give up. Amen. Ezekiel had heartbreak, but didn't give up. Tonight I learned a lesson years ago that helped me when I was struggling the most, and had such a heavy load to carry, and nobody else even offered to help me with the load, I learned a lesson about some ants. You remember them? And a roach. Preaching in a meeting. And we came in and to the place where the pastor and the church had their kitchen and a nice place to prepare the meals. And we found ants coming in, black ants, not those savage red ones, but just black ones, just hunting a mouthful or a drink of water somewhere. But they come, you know, and they come in files, a whole string of them. Some will be coming and some will be going. And we saw they came up through here and then onto the formica top and all the way across. And so we just followed them to the end to find out what they had come for. And believe it or not, at the end of the line was a dead roach. And for some reason, some of them were gathering around him. For whatever reason they wanted, I don't know. Never did ask them. I just watched them. And as I watched them, most of the ants were just coming and going. Every once in a while, another ant would stop. But not just coming in and going out. And preacher said, we got to get rid of all these ants here. I said, no, wait a minute. These are Baptist ants. I said, most of them just come to church and look and good and go. They're just coming and going. They're not staying to do anything. But there was enough of them to get a hold of that roach that stayed and accepted the challenge. Whatever they wanted to do with him, and what they wanted to do was to move him. This was a Florida cockroach, not one of those little northern roaches that only about like that. This was a big boy, about like your thumb. And they started moving him towards this backsplash, about 3 inches, 2.5, I guess. And I said, preacher, why are they moving him that way? He said, I don't know, but I know the choir's starting to sing. We need to go in. I said, we can't leave now. We got to stay here and help this. He said, the choir's coming in. I said, well, you go in. I'm going to find out what's going on. So I just watched it. They moved him. And they moved him straight to the backsplash. And as they moved him there, I thought, hey guys, y'all just coming and going. Something's going on here. There's a load being carried by just a few. We need a little more help. Looks like I don't know what they're going to do, but they just come and go. They was in a hurry to get to the eating place. Didn't have time to do any pushing and pulling. And all of a sudden, these little guys, you know where they wear those little rubber cup shoes. They can just walk right up the wall, you know. And all of a sudden, enough of them got a hold of that roach and moved him back and stood him up like this against that backsplash. Craziest thing ever seen in my life was ants and a cockroach and attention. Just like that. I said, that preacher, what are they going to do with him now? They should have brought him over here and throw him off, drag him out to the happy eating ground. They didn't do it. They wanted him. They wanted him on the top. And I was praying for him he'd get there. And all of a sudden, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, enough of them got a hold of him and they started pushing and pulling and pushing and pulling. And the greatest thing you ever seen in your life, and some of you probably have seen ants move a large thing, the dead butterfly or something like that. They started moving that old boy right straight up that wall. And I was talking to this crowd that just comes to go out, just come to get out. But they didn't pay any attention like they usually do. And they got him all the way right up to the top, and they couldn't get him on top. He was too big to get him over. And so I said, what are they going to do with him? Well, they didn't want to drop him. I don't think they wanted to hurt him. They just went back down with him. And they started again, right up that wall. And I was praying, Lord, help them. Lord, you can help them. They can do it. They can do it. And they went right again. They couldn't do it. No new help came with the load. But I looked at it and I said, preacher, do you believe that honestly this thing can be so true to scriptural dealings that we have people in our church when it comes to carrying the load and doing the job, that there's such a few? And we also have some people in our churches that just freeloaders. They enjoy all the blessings that the church get, but they don't pay, they don't go soul winning, they don't do anything. And they just ride. They talk about our church, but it's really nothing they do. And I said, could it be possible that some of them have stopped long enough to get on the roach and they're riding, not helping? They're sitting up there giving advice. I said, I'm going to find out. So I looked at them real close, and there must have been four or five of those old boys sitting up there riding. I knew every one of them by name. I knew their wives' names. I knew their children's name. I said, hey, buddy, I know you. I've seen you. All you do is come and go. You really don't put anything. You don't push and you don't pull. Get off. But they did like they normally did that next Sunday. They just sit there as a rider. But didn't stop this crowd. There's some of them that just were pushers and pullers. And they went back up again. I said, preacher, if they got the grace of God, those ants, got that much determination that that's what they want to do, I feel called to the Lord to help them. And if I can see they can't quite get him up, I'm going to help them. Because I'm looking on. Just like God's looking on when we're carrying the loads. And they couldn't quite get him over. So I took my pen. I put him on the south end of that northbound roach. And I pulled him up there. And got him on top. I couldn't hear what they were singing, but I think they singing, there's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for God. And I couldn't see the face of an ant, but it looked like those little guys, they fell off. They looked like they had already been at the judgment seat. And I was praying and rejoicing with them. And no, we were having camp meeting and the preacher was calling, come on in, it's time for a preach. I said, man, it's too busy. We're in a victory right here. I learned something. Just keep on pulling. Just keep on pushing. And if you get knocked down, just get up. Get your hand back to the plow handle. Just go back to plowing. Haggai said the seed's still in the barn. Oh, we need to get our hand to the sower's bag and get back out into the field and do a little sowing of the seed again. Don't give up on God. Just love God in your hard and your hurting times. And know this, no matter how heavy your load, how hurting the load is that you're carrying, somebody's watching. And help is on the way. And so I don't know this morning, tonight. I had asked, when I used this illustration and this message in Ezekiel before, I'd asked the people, before, if you'll take your shoes off. And I'll take mine off and we'll preach and you'll listen with our shoes off. And then at the end of the message, I asked them, I said, how many of you are willing truthfully to put your shoes on and come and tell the Lord you're ready to stand in the morning wherever He wants you to stand. Let's stand to our feet. Thank you for listening. I'm going to ask someone, if not more, will come and say, and I know there's a lot of hurting and brokenhearted people, but I'm going to ask if you'd come tonight and lace your shoes on a little tighter and say, Lord, I'm getting out of my bed of complaint. Oh, I get stepped on and knocked down, but tonight I'm going to put my shoes on, because God's got a place for me, that He needs me, and He'll let me know where I need to go and stand. I'm going to ask you to leave your place and come tonight to this old place. Love on God and love on Him enough that say, oh Lord, I'm tightening my shoes up tonight, and I'm going to be willing to carry the load. I'm willing to do and go stand where you want me to stand. I want you to know that I love you tonight. And I've told Him that as I go to sleep, the Lord willing, again tonight, I'll thank Him for letting me stand for Him again. I today, finally, with the encouragement of my family, to tell a preacher in California that in 2 weeks I will take his invitation, and the Lord willing, I'll get up that morning. I'm not somebody great. Man, I just cut out of the same old dusty mold that you were. But I want to go out like I want to go out. I wonder if God would touch your heart tonight. That you thank Him for already pulling you through many hurting times, heartbreaking times. It just slowed your life up. Or maybe given up something on God. But you'd tell Him, Lord, I love you tonight. And I'm getting out of bed. I'm going to keep my shoes on and be ready to go.
Thank you for listening to the Classic Sermons podcast from PreachTheBible.org. A ministry of North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California. To listen to many more powerful sermons, visit our website, preachthebible.org. If you enjoy Christian music and programming, visit knvbc.com for Christian music you can trust.